Shut them down. Shut them, shut them down. That's what the Kings are hoping to do to the Dallas Mavericks tonight here inside Golden 1 Center. Your boy Drapes, Kyle Draper, and Jay Johnson back behind the boards in studio holding it down here on the drive, guys. Sactown Sports 1140 sending a shout out to Whitey. Kevin Gleason should be back with us on Monday. All is good. Looking forward to seeing him back in studio on Monday. We'll continue to get you ready for tonight's matchup between the Kings and the Mavericks coming up at 3:30. Our guy Frankie Clicks Cardicelli, our Sactown Sports 1140 Kings insider, will be joining us as we get ready for what is a must-win game for the Sacramento Kings. But let's shift gears a little bit, Jay. Talk about the old pastime, America's favorite pastime, baseball. MLB opening day yesterday, and the Oakland A's laid an egg. Like, literally laid an egg as they lost to the Cleveland Guardians last night, 8-0 at home, their home opener. The announced attendance, 13,000 and change. I would imagine more people were outside in the parking lot for the reverse boycott. Depending on who you talk to, and here's the thing, Jay, we talked about this. You asked me, did you see the pictures from inside the Coliseum?
Yeah.
I saw some of them.
Okay.
But how should I put this? And we'll ask Frankie about this coming up at the bottom of the hour. I don't want to follow somebody's agenda. I feel like this whole A's saga, from both sides, it's been a lot of, you know, everything the A's are doing, John Fisher is bad. Everything, you know, the move to Vegas is all sunshine and rosy also. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and so I saw some of the pictures, and I need to check out. I'm going to go to Frankie's page right now because our guy Frankie keeps it real, no agenda at all. What do you make of the announced attendance? And because we said yesterday the over-under was about 4,000.
Yeah. I've seen numerous, and I'm with you. I do think there is an agenda, you know, in for many different aspects and different avenues of this argument situation, you know, whatever the climate that we're in right now when it comes to the A's versus the city of Oakland versus A's fans. And yeah, you can't tell me, you know, how many times, and you get to do it. You're at the arena very early and you can post a picture right now, but like nobody's in here. Right. And it could be 3:45. Right. Well, we know no one's in there. Because no one can even get inside the arena at this point beside people with the proper credentials. And so I understand what you're saying, Drapes, but I will say this. I saw video. And look, AI is real right now. I'm not saying you can't. You can manipulate anything you want in 2024. I'm a true believer of that. I saw a lot of different videos. I saw a lot of different pictures. And from many different angles throughout the Coliseum. I just didn't see 13-5. I didn't see it with my own two eyes. Now, I wasn't there, hence why we got Frankie Clicks coming on. But if that's 13-5, man, whew, the Coliseum is way bigger than I remember. did it look like, and I know you're looking at some pictures and probably a few videos, does it look like 13-5?
No, you know, and I'm looking at Frankie's page right now, you know, because our guy Frankie is legit. He's not going, you know, sugarcoat it or I don't know, Jay. I'm looking at this. Maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah.
You know,
10 tops,
maybe,
right?
I give them
10 double figures tops, Drapes. Like, seriously, dang. Josh Dubois of the AP. The announced attendance of 13,522 for the A's opener is the lowest non-COVID impacted opening day crowd for any team since the A's drew 7,294 versus the Blue Jays in 1996. That's per Stathead. That game was played at Cashman Field in Las Vegas when Coliseum was being renovated for the Raiders. So, and this is the thing. Okay, perfect world, Drapes. Let's call it 13-5. And we'll add the extra 22 people in there for good sakes. That's still the bottom of the totem pole.
Right, that's still even. No, you're right. Even if we say, yep, you're right, 13-5, it's still at the bottom for opening day. And you got to imagine opening day routinely ranks around Major League Baseball, one of your top gates in the league. You know, I'm sure Chavez Ravine is packed out for the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Fenway Park is packed out, you know, for the Red Sox when they have their home opener. And the fact that the A's at 13-5, even if it was that, and we're being generous.
Yes.
That's still paltry. That's still low. That's still low. Let me ask you this, though, because here's the thing, and we're going to get into, you know, the quote-unquote Sacramento A's coming up in just a minute, and why I think a lot of people are being hypocrites about this. You got the reverse boycott outside. Thousands of people out there.
Now, that parking lot looked like it was 13-5. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, it looked like it was bumping.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of that, though? Like, what can be gained by that? Or is it just A's fans coming together saying, screw you, Fisher, giving him the middle finger and commiserating together? Is there an end goal with that?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think part of it is just what you said, like, you know, here flipping the bird to John Fisher and Dave Cavill and the Oakland A's are saying, like, because one of their selling points, we've heard, we know this for sure, within the meetings of ownership and throughout the league is we're not able to garner the proper fans and attendance and have the revenue stream coming for us to not be a small market team, quote unquote, which mean they get the small market revenue. And at the same time, you know, this is one of the reasons why we need to jump ship and move out of the city, out of the territory as far as Oakland. And so when you have the reverse boycott, it's basically showing the league, along with, you know, some camaraderie, of course, as an Oakland A's fan, is saying, like, no, John Fisher is full of it. That's a lie. That ain't it. He ain't telling the truth. Dave Cavill around here tap dancing, and he know this not the truth. And so when you come together, and you know this, one of the strongest things you can absolutely do we've seen in our nation's history is come together and prove a point. And I think that's what Oakland A's fans are doing when they do the reverse boycott. It's like, no, money is being spent. We're not cheap. We have it. We will show up. But number one, give us a product on the field to show up, which the A's fans, including myself, in the lean years have still showed up when we had teams, as we talked about yesterday. This is probably a over-under. And last time I saw MGM, they had the A's at 58, which is just about where they were last year. It's a 50-win team.
Year, yeah.
We know, as you talked about yesterday, sometimes coming into baseball more than any other, you know, any other sport, we don't have a shot to win the World Series.
Right, right.
You know, but the A's fans have always showed up, Drapes. We've always, you know, done our thing. We've always came together for the hot dog, the dollar hot dog night, the dollar ice cream night on Tuesdays. You know, we've always showed up for the Ricky Henderson's celebrations and the Dave Stews and the Terry Steinbach celebrations, the Mike Gallegos. I mean, I can go on and go on, you know, the Lance Blankenship celebrations. But the other part of this too is, Drapes, is to show MLB, stop playing with us. Like, don't play us like that. Don't say we can't do what you guys are claiming throughout the national media. It's almost, and I find this funny, Drapes, and you tell me what you think, and you can jump on 916-339-1140. It's kind of in the same similar vein of what the Kings are saying. Like, stop disrespecting us nationally. Stop saying we can't. Stop saying we don't do this. And that's what A's fans, right, when you do the reverse boycott, to me, is saying, Drapes.
No, you're 100% right about that, because when you look at, you know, this, quote, move to Vegas, it's being, you know, spun from John Fisher and Major League Baseball standpoint as, you know, we can't get a new field. We can't get a new stadium. You know, the people aren't showing up, and, you know, it's and you're looking at it. The people will show up, and we'll get to this next segment when we talk about this quote-unquote Sacramento A's, but the support is there for the franchise. It's not there for the owner. In fact, Paul Bailey, who's a Stockton resident, I'm reading this article from sfgate.com, he was one of the fan groups organizing the opening day boycott. He said, quote, "I want to do everything I can in my power to make John Fisher look terrible." And if we can have an empty stadium and a full parking lot, then that's one more thing I could put a feather in my cap with as making John Fisher look bad. So it's not against the Oakland A's, really. It's against John Fisher.
Yes.
It's against the ownership. It's against Dave Cavill and the way they've handled this.
Rob Manfred.
The way that they're trying to rip the team. Rob Manfred ripped the team out of the city of Oakland. But coming up, Jay, I'm going to explain to you why there are a lot of hypocrites out there regarding the Oakland A's and its possible relocation to Sacramento for a few years. That's coming up next here on The Drive, guys. Hit us up, 916-339-1140. We're talking Oakland A's baseball and why there are a lot of hypocrites walking around these streets here in Sacramento. I'll tell you why coming up next on The Drive, guys.
As I see you take a drink of water over there, Dre, so I'm going to just say this. You asked me one of those things, and welcome back to The Drive, guys, Sactown Sports 1140. You were talking about some of the music I used to listen to get pumped, man. Keek the Sneak was definitely on my list, brother.
I told you my Keek the Sneak story, right?
Nah.
Doug, I'm flying back. Where was I flying back from? It might have been Summer League in Vegas, right? And I sit down, and there's this dude next to me across the aisle. Now, Jay, I got an ego, right? Like, I don't say it often or come across, but I like to get recognized from time to time. Like, how do I, when people say, Drapes, can we get your picture? Of course. Yeah, let's do it. That makes me feel good. Now, I'm just being honest, Jay.
I respect it. I respect it.
So I'm on the plane, and this guy comes up from behind. Hey, can I take your picture? But he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to the guy next to me.
Okay.
And I was like, who's this man? Who taking my shine right here? This is Drapes time, baby.
Right, right.
This is a flight back to Sacramento. So I knew there were some Kings fans on this flight. And so I'm like, man, who is this guy? And then somebody like, hey, can I get your autograph? Talking to this guy again. And I'm like, who the heck is this guy? And sure enough, it was Keek the Sneak.
Man, shots out.
And I was like, Keek the Sneak.
Dang.
Hyphy fame.
Come on, man. Three times crazy. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And so we chopped it up and everything. And he's like, yeah, man, I got a show up here in Sac. I couldn't make it that day. But no, when you talk about Keek the Sneak, bro, that's my Keek the Sneak.
That's wild, man. He took your pictures and your autographs, man.
But I was okay because by the end of the flight, I was like, yo, can I follow you on IG? Which, you know,
right.
I'm trying to, you know, take a picture with him.
That's right.
You know
that's
what
right.
I mean? It's crazy, man. And the same thing with E40 Fonzarelli, man. You know, a big fan of his. I remember when I was with the Celtics, I was a sideline reporter, and we played Golden State. And I just lost my mind. I was like, that's E40.
Man.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a picture with E40.
Got
right
to.
Because he was courtside.
Got
I
to.
Got to.
Yeah.
And so that's my guy, even though, you know, he's a Warriors fan now and everything. But, no, man, that's that Bay Area hip-hop, man. Come on now. You talking to me. Come on now. So, all right, Jay, I want to get back to this Oakland A's situation because here's why. I've been listening to all this talk about the possibility of the A's temporarily relocating to Sacramento, calling Sacramento home until they can eventually move to Vegas. And I hear a lot of people in the media. I'm hearing a lot of people in the fan base, a lot of people on social media say, nope, we don't want them here. If it's going to rip the hearts out of Oakland fans, we don't want them. They need to exhaust everything possible to stay in Oakland first. And then only as a last resort, maybe I'll support them. And I find it hypocritical, Jay, because here's why. I guarantee you those same people, if John Fisher from day one said, you know what, I'm looking to relocate the Oakland A's and Sacramento is my number one market, those same people would be all for it. And so what's the difference now? What's the difference now? I could say, now if you want to say, I don't want to be used by John Fisher, okay. But don't pledge some allegiance to the city of Oakland when you know darn well if Sacramento would have been the first choice, you wouldn't care about the city of Oakland. That's where I think people are being hypocritical, Jay. Maybe that's just my take on it and the way I view things. But I'm hearing a lot of holier than thou. We won't do that to our brethren in
right.
Oakland. We're in this with you together.
Right.
Let John Fisher say, you know what? Vegas fell through, but I want to move to Sacramento. And those same people would be like, okay, bring them to Sac. Let's go.
Yeah.
You tell me. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong.
No.
And I get it. But here's the thing. If your reasoning for not wanting the A's to come here to Sacramento temporarily is you don't want to be used or something like that, I get that. But don't use the city of Oakland and the people of Oakland and the fans of Oakland. Don't use them as your excuse when you would do the same thing that Vegas is doing right now, Jay.
Yeah.
That's why I think some people are being.
I see where you're going. I think it's a fine line, Drapes, and you know you are a transplant, and so
yes.
I can definitely see from the outside looking in. I'll say this: I think, and I'm speaking Sacramento, Oakland A's fans. They've been through the struggle of trying to keep the Kings in Sacramento. They know what it is to almost see the organization slip through your fingertips, and lose. Something that was yours, you know, how many times do we get people come on, man, I've been a season ticket holder since 85. Right. I was born into the Sacramento Kings kingdom. And so I think Sacramento Oakland A's fans, they're struggling. They're struggling to find, you know, their footing. And just what you're saying of if Vegas was to fall through and the territory of Sacramento becomes available in the Oakland A's organization eye, and it, you know, now Sacramento becomes 1A, and they're trying to come to Sacramento and get a stadium built here. I'm with you. And let me say this, as a Sacramento Oakland A's fan, if the Oakland A's were coming to Sacramento, please, by all means, come here. Definitely. I'm on that boat.
Even with John Fisher.
Even with John Fisher, knowing that I think the play for John Fisher is this, and this is from everything we heard, is this. He's coming, or he's trying to relocate so he can sell the team and get out. He wants the money, right? Compared to, and it sounds crazy because it's the climate of what everyone is going through day to day. He's looking for more than a $1 billion come up. He wants the $5, $6 billion come up, right? Ooh. That sounds crazy to say that, but that's what he's looking forward to. But this is the other part, and I think, please call, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone on the text line, you know, 916-339-1140. As a Oakland A's fan, taking Sacramento away from it, Oakland A's fans haven't been opposed to seeing the Oakland A's go to Fremont or go to San Jose. You know, or come to Sacramento because it's the same region. And so I think we have to separate that, Drapes. I think you're talking to the Sacramento A's fans, but Oakland A's fans, people who aren't from Sacramento or dwell here, I think they're like, look, put them in Fairfield. You could put them in Antioch. You could put them in Brentwood.
They would be okay with that?
Why not?
The fans in Oakland would be okay with that.
I think so, because they would be here. It would be something we could call our own. Now, I'm pretty sure there are people going to be like, no, it's only Oakland and Oakland only. Like, that's cool. That's fine. If you want to say it's Jack London or you want to put them right where they're at, that's fine. But no one was crying about when Oakland A's were getting ready to go to Fremont. No one was crying, beside the Giants. No one was crying about the A's going to San Jose beside the Giants. You know, Giants fans and their organization. So I don't think it's so much about that. I think it's they're getting ready to go to Las Vegas. That's completely a whole different thing. That's not Sacramento. That's not San Jose. That's not Petaluma. That's none of that, you know. And I think that's right. Where you have to separate that, Drapes.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying. You know, it's just – and you and I have talked about this. Let's say Sacramento is the temporary home. 3 years. Are you supporting the A's? Are you going to games? Are you taking the kids?
See, I think
are
that's...
spending your money?
That's, for me, personally, and this is where I've kind of been on the fence. I'm like a cat on the fence. I don't know which way to jump because I'm from here. This is me. I'm South Sac. This is where I grew up. I would love to have my favorite team play in Sacramento. But I'm also supporting John Fisher. I'm also supporting the Dave Cavill. And I'm supporting the nonsense that baseball is kicking to me. And at the same time, to know, you know what? We're just the holding spot. Like, we don't have anything at the end of this rainbow, you know? There's not a pot at the end of this rainbow. And so that's what I struggle with, and that's where I can hear where you're like, stop being hypocritical. Because if they come to SAC, we have a MLB team here. It's going to be hard for me not to slide down there and support my team. I get it. But I'm also supporting John Fisher's shenanigans, that lollygagging that he got going on. And I don't want to do that. And so right now, give me a mulligan, brother. Give me a redo, because I'm not sure. I'm still torn. I'm still trying to get a better grasp on it. You know, I got my ice skates on, Drapes, but I'm in Minnesota where you were going to school, and I can't ice skate, so I'm holding on the railing right now. You know, if that makes sense. Like, I'm like, I got one of those little walkers right now. So I'm not sure. Me personally, I can't answer that, but I hope, you know, and this is where you got to put me on the couch. I'm hoping other Oakland A's fans can help me get through that, because I love my city, but I can't stand the A's right now. And so that's where I'm kind of torn, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you'd have to, like, sort of wait and see in that moment. Like, if they were here, then we could decide. You could just say, all right, I guess I'll go to a game. Like, it's hard to make that decision right now. You know,
if you pick up the phone and it's June and the family, you like, man, young Drapes want to go to a game, man. I got a 4-piece of tickets, you know, and the rest of my family don't want to go. Dog, I don't want to waste the 2 tickets. Why don't you pull up with me? I'm like, man, as you would say, that's my guy. I get to hang out with Drapes. I get a beautiful ballpark. I get to go see, you know, my green and gold, and they're playing the San Diego Padres, Tatis.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm probably in. But I'm looking myself in the mirror, Drapes, like, what am I doing?
Right.
What am I doing?
It goes against everything you have been saying the last year or two about this situation. Hey, man, we're going to continue this conversation. We got Frankie Clicks Cardicelli jumping on with us here next segment. He was in the building. He was outside of the Coliseum last night as well. We'll ask him about that, and also ask him about this huge matchup between the Kings and the Mavericks. You're listening to The Drive, guys, here on Sactown Sports 1140. Yes, go. Drapes and Jay here on Sactown Sports. First of all, I had to take the headband off for the last break because it was cutting off the circulation to my brain, bro. This might be a youth headband that my guy Mo brought up to me, man. This thing is tight on my head.
Yeah, that children's place joint?
God. Yeah, seriously. I'm trying to stretch this thing out. You know what I mean?
Need a shoe
it up a bit. And then Selena and Molly just brought up the grub. Let me see what's for dinner here. Ooh, that looks good, RJ. Yeah, a little grilled chicken and broccoli. See if they got the popcorn up in there.
Man,
yep,
stop,
got the popcorn
stop
up
lying.
In there.
First of all, Drapes don't lie to the folks of Sac Sports 1140, man. This ain't your dinner. Stop lying. This is a pregame meal. You get a game time meal as well.
It's my late lunch. How you know about that, Jay?
I told you, man. I've walked by numerous times and seen you with a burger in your palms.
No, dude. I usually, I'll keep it real with you. When I'm on the floor, they bring me a meal at halftime.
Yes.
When I'm on pre and post game, at the start of the game, I go to Row 1 Club and have dinner down there.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody else is out here on the floor watching the game. I go back there and chill, got the big screen, got my feet up, you know, order off the menu. So you're right. This is not my dinner. This is my late lunch. But, you know, it depends on what role I'm in, what I have for dinner tonight.
That's what's up, man. It must be great being Kyle
just,
Draper.
Just keeping it real. Hey, man, it's hard work. I make it look easy, bro, but it's hard work out here, man. So, all right, man, let's get back to business here. We got a big game going on. Kings versus the Mavericks here. And it's funny, man. I'm on social media, and my guy De'Aaron Fox had to clap back at a Mavs reporter I don't know if you guys saw this, but this was just on Twitter. Brad Townsend, who covers the Mavs for the Dallas Morning News, he tweeted out this morning, the Mavs are waiting in the arena hallway for Kings to get off the court for shoot-around. This is where a wise guy would insert that the Kings need the extra time. De'Aaron Fox clapped back at him. We shoot around on our practice court, though. So how are you waiting for us to get off the floor if we're over in our practice court? You see what I mean? And this is a reporter for the Dallas Morning News, man. You can't trust them out there, man. You cannot trust them out there. Let's bring in our guy, Frankie Clicks Cardicelli. You can trust Frankie, one of the best in the business. Frankie, what's up, man? How you doing? Are you in the building yet? Are you at the arena yet?
Fellas, thank you for having me. No, I'm in my car about to leave, and man, if you're on your way to Golden 1 tonight, be careful. It's windy, it's rainy, it's nasty out right now, man. But I'm excited to get down there and dive into it. And you know, this time of year usually brings out that kind of, you know, the messing around between whether it's media or fan bases. Obviously, we all remember last year how crazy things got on social media with Kings and Warriors fans, and I guess, you know, like a mini playoff series, Kings and Mavericks fans are, I guess, now media are getting after it. So I'm excited to get down there.
Right.
Got to hold your own, Frankie. Be careful.
Yeah, be careful, man. I thought he'd take the helicopter or something, the private jet, knowing the Cardicelli family here and how big they are in Sacramento. But be careful out there. Drive it in, Frankie. Before we get to tonight's matchup, me and Jay were just talking about the reverse boycott there at the Coliseum in Oakland. You were down there. Just describe the scene both inside and outside last night.
Yeah, you know, they're very interesting. It's my third one I've been to. Obviously, opening day a little different, but the way I can best describe it is it's almost like you're going to like a wake, and but everyone at that wake is just angry. And I think that these fans, they obviously have every right to be angry. They're having a team that they've cared about for, in some cases, generations. People that came with their grandparents or their parents, and this team, they want to go with their kids. I met a couple fans that were taking their sons or daughters to the game yesterday, and they said it might be their last opening day. So. Everyone has a different story and different angle, and the parking lot was where all the action was. Obviously, it wasn't just a one section of the parking lot situation. If you've been to Oracle, formerly Oracle Arena or the Coliseum, you know how big that parking lot is, and it was, as far as you could see, cars and people in green and gold, and this fan base is angry, and it's going to continue until the team is officially in Las Vegas, whether they're in Oakland, Sacramento, Salt Lake City, wherever. They made it clear that they're going to continue to voice their, you know, disdain for John Fisher and that ownership group. But interesting feel inside the ballpark as well. Not many people. I saw that the announced attendance, I think, was 17,000. And that's just no way true.
What?
No way true. No way there are 17,000 people inside of that building.
Wait a minute, Frankie. So this is something we've been having a conversation about. And I'll say this. Hexabar, who's on our YouTube, he was like, look, I was at the game sitting in Section 114. When they announced that during the game that 13.5 was the attendance, he said everybody threw their head back and laughed. Now, what I've seen is 13,522. You're saying they announced 17,000?
Maybe I was wrong on that. I think it was. I think it might have been 13. Either way, a double digit in the tens of thousands. There's no way. There's no way it was over 10,000 people. I was telling. I talked to Chris Watkins and Alan Little earlier, and I said I think it was around more like 6,000 or 7,000.
See, Drapes, we had it, brother.
That's what we said yesterday. We predicted, you know, maybe 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 or 7,000. I know you put out a picture as well. When did you take that picture, and what did you think of the crowd inside the building? Were those the loyalists, the diehards, you think?
I think those are the loyalists. You know, I did talk to some fans that they said that they were going to come inside once they spend a little time out at the boycott, because again, there are not many games where fans are getting together to do these kinds of things, and there are not many games where fans are actually going to go in, because these fans don't want to spend money. They don't want to put money in John Fisher's pockets. They made that very clear. So the vibe inside was, you know, there was cheers, of course. There were some fans there that were getting into it, but again, the A's were down 6-0 when I left in the seventh inning. I think that was the final, but. It's a weird feeling, man. It's a weird feeling. It's hard to be in the middle of all of this, especially with what's going on with the potential Sacramento news. And it's, you talk to a different fan, they have a different story. That's just kind of the way it goes right now. My dad was an A's fan growing up. He's definitely he's torn up about it. It just really is something that I hope that fans can find a place of comfort. And I know that Kings fans have been through similar. I used to go to Here We Buy nights, Here We Stay nights, and it's a horrible feeling. And there really is no easy solution. And, of course, that's what they're making clear last night.
Our guy Frankie Cardicelli joining us here on The Drive, guys, Sactown Sports 1140. Frankie, our Kings insider. Let's turn to tonight's matchup with the Sacramento Kings and the Dallas Mavericks. What did you think about Tuesday's game, and what do the Kings need to do different tonight, in your opinion, Frankie?
I think a lot was going into it, and I kind of view that loss as an outlier. I mean, when you lose by 36 points, a lot has to go wrong, and a lot did go wrong. And you can go ahead and make it, maybe focus on the fact that they played five games in seven nights with two back-to-backs in there over two time zones. I think no matter who they played, and that's not to take credit away from the Mavericks, I think no matter who they played, they would have been a little sluggish. But I'm looking at the pace. They really were not – the thing that makes the Kings very dangerous is they're able to get out and run, push the pace. In those wins against, like, the Lakers, the Bucks, and so forth, their fast break points, they doubled up, nearly almost doubled up those opponents, and they never got that edge against Dallas. And also, something I'm looking at tonight is Domantas Sabonis, who, over his past five games, we know he likes to move the basketball around, but averaging nine field goal attempts per game over the past five, I'd like to see him attack those bigs down there that Dallas has. I think that they pack the paint, but they don't really have any true shot blockers down there. And I think Sabonis, when he's down there, he can bruise himself to the basket. So I'm looking at that. And obviously they have a two-headed snake of Luka and Kyrie. And as we saw, Luka scores two points in the second half after scoring 26. Kyrie scores 18. I think that if you can go ahead and try to control the other guys that are going to cause damage, the Derrick Jones Jr., who hit a big three late in the third quarter and down the line. I think if you can control the other guys, you can kind of live with the fact that those two players are going to get what they usually get. But and then finally, the last thing I would say is attacking Luka on the defensive end. He's playing injured. He's slow already when he's not, even if he's healthy. I think when you see guys like De'Aaron Fox or Malik Monk, if they can somehow get him on a switch and attack him and go to the basket, the Kings will be in a good spot. But it really was a lot of things that went wrong in that game. So I think that a couple days off, Kings should be in a much better spot tonight.
Joined by our guy, Frankie Cardicelli, a.k.a. Clicks. Frankie, with the news coming out today of Kevin Huerter being done for the season, and I think, you know, you do a great job, just like Brendan Nunez being our Sac Sports 1140 Kings insiders. I think you guys pretty much knew it was the end of the season for him when he sustained the injury. But now that it's final, it's over, the finality is here, what are your thoughts on this team moving forward as far as rotational-wise? Because I know they lose a piece, not only – probably starting, but even if he was coming off the bench.
Yeah, it's tough, and it makes it even tougher as they try to navigate this period without Sasha Vezenkov, who appears to be close. He said they at Fiorani is getting close to returning, and Trey Lyles, who's doing some on-court work. But without Kevin Huerter, a guy who's had an up-and-down season, just having him, even if it would be off the bench, if Keon Ellis was going to be the starter for the rest of the way, having a player with experience like Kevin Huerter, who has the ability to knock down three-pointers, get hot, and change the outcome of a game, we've seen him do it many times, that's going to hurt. So you're going to have to see the Kings rely on guys like Keegan Murray, who I think his volume is going to increase as a shooter and trying to score the basketball. It's going to put more pressure on Malik Monk in that second unit to kind of act as that leader. And especially on nights where De'Aaron Fox doesn't have it, Malik has really been a guy that's stepped up. Both of those things didn't happen on Tuesday against Dallas. But I think it's a loss for sure. I mean, Kevin Huerter was a guy who's playing nearly 30 minutes per game or over 30 minutes per game over the past two seasons, a big piece of how this team's been successful. So I think the Kings do have some solid depth, though. Keon Ellis has shown he can knock down a three in a pinch. He can play very good defense, of course. And you have to look at guys like Keegan, Fox, Malik, and the rest to kind of step up on the offensive end.
Frankie Cardicelli jumping on The Drive, guys, here. Sactown Sports 1140. Frankie, just how different or how dire is it between getting a top six seed in the play-in? Because we know everybody wants to avoid the play-in. We understand that. But if the Kings are in the play-in, can they still make noise, or is this it, right? Is this about extending their season versus, you know, maybe being done in the play-in? What do you think tonight?
I mean, as far as tonight goes, I think if you have this game, it does increase the likelihood, obviously, a lot that you're going to be in that top six spot. But I don't look at the play-in as necessarily a depth sentence or anything. I think that it depends on matchups. You know, the Kings have been horrible against the Houston Rockets, and they're climbing the standings. They could find themselves in that mix if they keep playing the way they're playing. The Warriors are giving the Kings some fits, so I think it depends on who the matchup is. Obviously, I'm not comparing the Kings to the Miami Heat, but the Miami Heat were a playing team, and they went to the finals last year. Again, anything can happen in sports, but I think the Kings do have somewhat of a chance to not quite control their own destiny, but almost, because they play these teams that they're around. They play Dallas, they play Phoenix, New Orleans, and so forth. But you got to pick up tonight. Like, I think that if you lose tonight's game, it significantly decreases your chances of catching Dallas. If you trail them by two games in the standings with nine to go, and they might have a chance of getting that tiebreaker because it goes to conference records, and they nearly have identical records there. It just makes it kind of hard on themselves. So I think the Kings, if they win tonight, they're in a good spot. But that's kind of the way the last couple weeks have gone. It just kind of flip-flop between that 6-7-8 range, and things can change on a daily basis. And tonight, the Kings could be in a much better spot if they pick up the W.
Frankie, coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to have a conversation here on Sactown Sports 1140 about which player needs to have a LeBron Celtics Game 6 2012 game. Which player needs to deliver tonight? Which player needs to put the team on its back and say, ride me, guys, we're going to get this win? Who do you think needs to play, must play well tonight for the Kings to win?
That was the LeBron, the meme, right, with the eyes?
Yes.
When he's looking up
at
Boston.
The crazy eyes and everything. Yeah, he was locked in.
Man, when I think about that picture, I think about fire. And Malik Monk has been in a funk lately. I think he hasn't made a 3-3 games, and I think he's averaging around 7 points per game during that time. He's due for one of those just kind of like pop games, like where he's going to give you 25-plus. And we all know how fiery Malik is and how much he loves the big spotlight. And tonight, you know, not quite TNT or ESPN, but in front of a national audience again on NBA TV. And I think he's ready to show the world what he can do again. So I'm looking at Malik for a guy who has been a game changer for the Kings a lot and is due for a big game. And I think tonight's a very ideal time for that big game.
Joined by Frankie Carticelli, a.k.a. Clicks. Frankie, this is I think for everybody, and you correct me if I'm wrong if you don't feel this way, this is a must win for the Sacramento Kings when it comes to this point in the season. Like, I don't think there's anything bigger, but I think something we'll probably talk about here down the road today on the show is, do you feel this is the most pressure this Kings team has been in since the Golden State Warriors series?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say so. I'd say it's like yeah, it is until it isn't, right? But with nine games to go, I think that you can kind of start using that must win phrase. I know our buddy Deuce Mason, he's very critical of the way that's used. If I think he likes to answer back people that say that on social media, well, is the season over tomorrow? No, but I do think if you lose this game, you really, like I said, you really are going to be at a disadvantage here. And I don't know if you're going to catch Dallas, who has a much easier road to the finish line. So the Kings, obviously, they have responded to adversity. I mean, last year, every time they were in a position like this, whether it was a big loss or a losing streak, they would stop the bleeding. This team has proven they can do that. And I think that they can do it again, whether it's tonight or Sunday. Tonight, obviously, more ideal, but I feel like this team does a very good job of not letting things spiral. So I personally am expecting a much different Kings team tonight because the 2 days off, I think, will benefit them. Having guys like De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, who have gone through a couple rough stretches, just the numbers tell you they're due. So I would say, yeah, I'd agree. It's a game that I think they really need to win if they want to be in a good position. But, again, they respond to adversity, and I have no doubt they'll do it again.
Frankie, what can you tell us about Sasha Vezenkov in this ankle? I mean, the dude's been questionable for a couple of weeks now, went through shoot around today. Is this the day finally we see Sasha back on the floor?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, he even wouldn't really fully commit to it. I think that just when you come off of a grade 3 ankle sprain, that's the tippy top as far as ankle sprains go. You want to be sure. And this is the longest he was saying he's been off the floor playing basketball, I believe, in his professional career. So it's killing him inside that he can't play. And the Kings, really, with Kevin Huerter now out, could use that floor spacing. Not a two-guard, obviously, but a guy that you can put out there if you need some shooting. And I would imagine it's coming up pretty soon. He's been a participant in practice. He participates in the shoot-around every morning. I think I heard you say earlier it's kind of like a glorified walkthrough, and I agree. Those usually don't involve much running or cutting or those lateral movements you need to make in order to play. But he's close. I know that he's close. I'd imagine he plays, if not tonight, before the end of this homestand, I would imagine. But hard to say for sure because the Kings are being very protective.
Yeah, you're right about that. Frankie Carticelli, our Sactown Sports 1140 Kings insider, joining us. You know, one thing when I look back at the game on Tuesday was the fact that Luka in the first half really controlled everything. You know, he got his points and he hit guys like P.J. Washington. Guys like Derrick Jones Jr., Tim Hardaway off the bench. You know, and when I look at this Mavs team, sure, they are much improved defensively since the trade deadline, but they still have two weak links, Kyrie and Luka on a defensive end. How would you like to see the Kings attack those two guys?
I mean, I think that with Luka, I mean, especially both guys, really, the Kings could have done a better job of contesting. I think that there's a little too much space for Luka, and especially Kyrie, who's very shifty and very good at creating that space. But Luka's not going to beat you usually with his quickness. He's going to beat you with having a little more time to be open on those shots. And you have to give credit to Dallas, who's done a good job of moving the ball around. But Luka, he's kind of got to hope you can get a hand up in his face and contest the best that you can. But again, a guy who's not playing 100% healthy, I don't think he's going to be trying to do too much off the dribble. And he lived and died by the three the other night. And again, in the second half, as you saw, he ran out of gas. So if you can put on one of those guys, you have a very good chance of winning. It's obviously, if both are cooking like the last time. But put on one of them, I think Luka's the one that you got to target the most. I expect Keegan Murray is going to be putting a lot of pressure on him. And after that, we'll see what happens.
Frankie, last one for me. We started this show, and I don't know if you had an opportunity to see my guy Drapes at the arena right now. He's decked out. He's got the shooting sleeve. He's got the finger tape. He's got the De'Aaron Fox jersey rocking the headband. He's out there looking like, you know, Grandma Ma. If you were coming to the game tonight, not in the capacity that you're in, what Kings jersey, what gets you ready for the gunfight tonight? What jersey would you be donning?
Man, obviously, I'd have to go with my guy, C. Webb. That was the guy that I loved growing up. I had every jersey I think you could imagine, and nothing got me locked in like wearing the C. Webb jerseys, man. Back when it was 02 to 04, I'd be wearing that thing to school every day and, you know, arguing with my Laker fan friends. And wait, Drake, what jersey do you have on? Who are you wearing, Fox? Who is it?
Yeah, I went to the team store, bought a Fox jersey, Frankie. Did not even look at the price, big fella. Because we need to win at all costs. The price didn't matter.
I love it.
Getting the win matters, Frankie. So I invested in a Fox jersey.
I completely agree, man, and I love it. Hopefully that'll be the good luck charm tonight. Maybe the headband, if things are going sour for the halftime show, you throw the headband back on.
Maybe. I might do that. Last question, Frankie. What's your gut telling you? Not about win or losing, but what kind of game do you expect? What kind of performance from the Kings are you expecting tonight?
I expect to see Sacramento Kings basketball. And what we saw on Tuesday was not that. I expect them to get out and push the pace. I expect them not to let as many open three-pointers. Those were some lapses they had the other night. And I'm looking at them to play a lot better brand of defense. Obviously, we know the Kings have been a very good defensive team for the past couple of weeks. That was not the case on Tuesday. I think that's a couple days off and a practice with Mike Brown, who makes, he's very great at making those adjustments when you're playing the same team twice in a little mini-series like this. I'm expecting it's a better brand of Sacramento Kings basketball. I win or loss, I don't know if I can say with 100% certainty, but I'm definitely expecting a win more than a loss because that's how this team does. They respond to these situations, and they respond to adversity.
Frankie Cardicelli on the drive, guys, here on Sactown Sports 1140. Check him out, obviously, on social media and SactownSports1140.com. Frankie, thanks for joining us, man. We'll see you in a little bit.
All right, guys. Thanks again. I'll see you in a little bit.
All right, Clicks Cardicelli joining the drive, guys. When we come back, who needs to be the LeBron of 2012 for the Sacramento Kings? Who needs to have an iconic performance tonight against the Dallas Mavericks? Jay and I will discuss. Plus, we'll take your phone calls, 916-339-1140. It's the drive, guys, here on Sactown Sports 1140.